Hello and welcome to Mission Possible. Here on the Talking Information Center, my name is John, and today we'll be talking about our visit to the Abilities Expo in Boston on September 8th. At that event, we had a chance to visit with some of the vendors and some of the exhibitors, and we'll play some of those interviews for you today. So let's dive right in. This is Mission Possible on the Talking Information Center.
My name is Lisa Korfman, Lisa B. Korfman. I am an artist. I have a couple disabilities, but they don't hinder my abilities. My business name is Rocky Arts Unfolded, so I want to present something that can be other people's rock, something secure to hold on to.
That's incredible. Now, what made you decide to go into this field?
Ever since I was maybe three or younger, I was always considered an artist. I grew up with a learning disability, and it was that's what everyone said I was good at, so it came naturally to go into the art field. I went to Endicott College, got my bachelor's degree at Endicott College, got my went to the Gateway Arts Program to learn how to market my work.
What led you to discover this Abilities Expo?
I was chair of this group called Artists with Disabilities Task Force. It's now called Artists Beyond Challenges. It's a task force under Massachusetts Rehabilitation Commission. I went away to New York for about 3 years, and then I came back here, and I tried reaching out to some of my old contacts, and so I got in touch with a new chair of Artists Beyond Challenges, and that chair told me about that VSA was going to offer tables to artists with disabilities, and so I was like, yeah, I'll do it, and I did terrific last year. I was just, it's my audience.
Absolutely. So right now this is radio, so unfortunately there's no visual, but I'm standing in front of this beautiful rack that has some amazing gold-colored rocks that have, it appears to be poems on each one. Would you describe the setting for us, if you would?
Well, it's in the Abilities Expo is at the Boston Convention Center, and my display has the rocks have the poems that speak about the origami. Basically, as I said, origami is my rock, and so I'm holding one.
Share with us one of the poems, if you would. Whichever one is your favorite. No pressure.
One that I don't have on me, but that's memorized. Is,
yeah, share that with us, please.
Is green origami, goldfish. What's the tie? Green goldfish, no lie. And I've actually written a song with a friend about that one, reworded it, and this chorus is, scrub, 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 paper bubbles in the tub. Scrub, 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 paper bubbles in the tub.
That's so cool. So we have Lisa here. She is designing rocks. She's an artist here at the Abilities Expo, and also a poet. If you would, tell us how you get your inspiration for the poetry.
I pick out a piece of origami. Then I actually do charcoal drawings of them. I started doing those in 2004. And then I got back in with it. And the day I figure, well, poetry can tell a story, so it kind of illustrates what's behind the poem, and it's exploring mixed media. So I have some, and I'm actually going to, hopefully by sometime mid-next year, I'll have a book published with my charcoal drawings, my poems, and the diagrams on how to fold the models.
Fantastic. Well, please keep us posted on when your book is published, because we'd love to hear about it and promote it on the radio station.
Oh, thank you.
Just before we went on the recording here, you were showing us this flower and another poem that you wrote, Lisa. Would you tell us about what that's all about?
Well, the one that I'm holding I call it the Crane of Remembrance, and this one has red inserts inside the clear plastic crane. A crane is a symbol of long life and peace. If a person folds 1,000 cranes, their wish to become well is supposed to come true. So I folded these cranes that are kind of given as a gift to somebody as they pass, or if they've overcome surgery or something, some sort of emotional incident or celebration.
And did you say that it's a tradition in the Jewish faith?
Yes. With the the crane. This is in the Jewish tradition. When someone passes, you place a rock on their gravestone. And since these are made out of clear plastic, I've been able to put the rocks inside them, and you can see the rocks. So you might put, if you give it to someone and they want to put it at the grave, they have a rock that you can put on their gravestone.
Excellent. And share with us the poem, Lisa, if you would.
5 words. Life takes a long time. It shall be told why, a why that is important now. Life often flies high like the crane can. The crane, 'tis a symbol of long life and peace. Life takes a long time, and memories do form. The journey is time's path. Migration, 'tis the process. And the crane shall fly with the struggles of life. One does take his own time, endorsing the slow moments, laughing through the funny moments, and adding to the future moment. 'Tis for the timeless one. Nevertheless, the journey shall end. Life's flight, 'tis a cycle, and all shall celebrate the long life symbol of the remembered, the landed crane, to settle down forever. We ask then, is it important that life takes a long time? Why is it important that life takes a long time? Because those memories are sifted beautifully. May you, your gem of hope, be captured peacefully in your wings to portray. Amen.
That was amazing. And you wrote that?
Yes, I did. I wrote it in 2010 when, no, 2011 when I wrote a speech for my grandfather. My step-grandfather lived to be 100, and he was Jewish, so I made one of these cranes for him, and then I wrote the speech for his burial, and I was taking a course, so I decided to make it something that other people could cherish too.
That's amazing. Now, Lisa, do you have a website where your paintings and your poems are displayed?
Yes, www.rockyartsunfolded.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. That was perfect.
Thank you.
Please give me your name and tell me a little bit about your organization.
Deborah Fried, I'm the executive director. We are Paralyzed Veterans of America, the New England chapter. We provide programs and services for spinal cord injury and dysfunction of veterans, as well as non-veterans and the disabled community.
That's incredible. How long has the organization been in operation?
The chapter itself has been in existence since 1947, and our national organization since 1946.
Now, could you give me an example of some of the services that you offer?
Advocacy and legislation, the ability to take some of our members to Washington, D.C. once a year, and our sports and rec program. Matter of fact, we just finished a bass trail up at Winnipesaukee at Camp Robindale. We work really, really closely with the VA voluntary services to provide outlets for individuals, trap shooting, shooting events, fishing, basketball, softball, and a variety of other sports.
That's amazing. You mentioned the Washington, D.C. trip. Could you elaborate on that?
Every year our national organization does what's called an advocacy and legislative seminar, and there's 2 days of updates for those of us who are government relations directors. And the next 2 days or 3 days, we spend up on the Hill going around to our various legislators. New England has 12 senators and 21 representatives. and we make sure that we stop at, if we don't have appointments, we stop by and see every single one of them if we can.
That's amazing. Do you have any success stories you can share with us?
Yes, actually. I have a veteran who is what we consider technically newly injured, less than 5 years, who didn't know that his veteran status could assist him in using the West Roxbury VA after he got injured. And so instead of when he was first injured, he was told he would never walk again. And after 4.5 months plus regular rehab visits, he is walking at least a mile every day.
Where can people find more information about the organization on the web?
www.nepva.org.
Great. Thank you so much for your time.
My name is Keely Ames, and I work for Northeast Passage. We are a program of the University of New Hampshire that provides adaptive sports and recreation for individuals with disabilities in New England.
And how long has it been in operation?
Northeast Passage was founded in 1990. We've been a part of the university since 2000, so we're over 25 years old now.
That's amazing. Now, give me an example of some of the services that you offer.
So we offer year-round adaptive sports. So that's everything from archery to cycling, water skiing, kayaking. In the wintertime, we offer competitive sports, so power soccer, wheelchair rugby, and sled hockey. That's just a small sampling of what we offer. We also have a number of pieces of adaptive equipment that are available for rent for individuals in New England. So if someone's going on vacation and they want to take a cycle with them, that's something that we offer as well.
Now explain how adaptive sports differ from just average everyday sports.
The major difference with adaptive sports is the equipment. So we have a number of pieces. We have over 500 pieces of adaptive equipment for people with varying abilities. So children, adults, all sorts of different pieces that would accommodate somebody who wants to try a sport. So we have a large selection of cycles, for example, that would accommodate anybody that wants to give cycling a try.
That's incredible. Now, those competitions you mentioned just a few seconds ago, the soccer and things like that, how do those work?
We have all of our competitive sports teams practice weekly during the winter season. That happens to be when they compete. And they all participate in leagues throughout the region. So wheelchair rugby has a league that's a national league that they're a part of. Sled hockey is part of the Northeast Sled Hockey League. Power soccer also has a league in New England that they're a part of. So we have regular competition opportunities as well as practice opportunities for people to develop their skills.
Now, elaborate more a little bit on the different seasonal activities that you have, because, you know, we have winter coming up. So if people, listeners, are looking for activities this winter, what do you have to offer in that department?
For more recreational-based for this winter, we have we'll do Nordic skiing, so cross-country skiing. We typically travel to where the snow is. We didn't have much snow last winter, so we'll travel around and find snow so people can try Nordic skiing. There's a number of different great downhill ski programs in New England. So if someone's looking to downhill ski, I would recommend trying any of the mountains that are in New England. Most of them have adaptive programs as well. So there's, you know, there are still things to do in the wintertime.
Do you have a favorite?
My favorite, I like water skiing. I think I've tried everything that we offer, and I think water skiing feels the most like stand-up skiing. That if you sit ski, it feels the most like stand-up skiing. So you can really get that feeling of carving across the wakes and all that you would with stand-up skiing.
How do people get in touch with you?
They can start with our website. Our website is www.nepassage.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Information Center. This is Mission Possible, and today we're talking about our visit to the Abilities Expo, which took place on Friday, September 8th, 2016.
My name is Jacqueline Ross. I am the program coordinator for the Bridge Center. We're located in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, which is south of Boston. The purpose behind the Bridge Center is to offer recreation, therapeutic recreation, and equine services for children and young adults with disabilities. So we offer year-round programming down at our bar and our riding center, as well as on our facility. And we also have programs that are off our facility as well. And then we do run 9 weeks of summer camp, and that's for a wide variety of children and young adults with disabilities.
Fantastic. Now give me an example of some of the programs, a little bit more in-depth description of some of the programs that you offer.
So some of our most popular year-round programs, on Saturdays we have a program called Saturday Recreation. It is basically a camp day every Saturday. So you get to participate in camp typical activities, arts and crafts, cooking, music programs, and then also social programs. And the participants that come to us for Saturday recreation are able to have a one-to-one with them throughout the day if necessary, or they can be in a different setting, so a staff ratio of 1-to-2. They are within small age-typical groups, and they go through a different schedule each Saturday and participate in the activities. We also have a program called Bridges to Independence. That is for teenagers up through adults of the age of 35, and they are here on Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., and during Bridges to Independence, they work on different social skills, they work on healthy living skills, and they also work on job-related skills, whether it's a job or for volunteering purposes. They volunteer around our campus, and they also work on job skills, so writing resumes, how to do a proper job search, interview skills, everything like that. And during healthy cooking, they learn how to cook, learn what's healthy, what's not healthy, and then all the safety procedures that is involved with cooking. And then we also have a program called Social Adventures. And so that is just for an hour and a half every Saturday, and the kids are put into age groups, and they work on different social skills every week. So each week is a new social skill, a different activity to address that skill, and then put it into action.
That's incredible. Now give me an example, if you would, of your typical participant and maybe a success story.
We service a wide variety of disabilities at the Bridge Center. Our most popular population that we serve is participants on the autism spectrum. And I have a great example from this past summer. We had one participant receive a grant from Autism Speaks for our swimming lessons, and he successfully learned how to swim over the course of the sessions. And it was a progression of initially just getting to know our instructor and then getting comfortable within the water to then understanding the stroke movement and then performing it independently. And so I had conversations with mom, and it was just a feat that she didn't know was possible. And he was able to do that because of the dedication and the patience of our instructor. And so that was a huge success story that we saw.
That's so awesome. Where can people find you online or on the web?
People can visit our website. It's www.thebridgectr.org.
Hi, my name is Janine Carosio, and my company is Mobility Lifter, and what I distribute is a portable stair climber for outdoors and indoors, and it's called the Lift Car.
That's awesome. Now, describe for me this device that's in front of you right now.
Well, it's a portable stair climber, which is what makes it unique. It works indoors on carpet, curved stairs, angled stairs, and it works outdoors. So it gives families who use manual, transport, or tilt and space chairs the ability to live their life. So you can take it within the car and use it wherever there are stairs.
Describe for me how it works.
The Lift Car is battery operated, and you need an attendant to operate it, so you can't use it if you're sitting in the chair yourself. And I compare it to using a hand truck. The person is the weight. It'll hold up to 352 pounds. That would include your wheelchair. And you tip it back when you're going to use it on the stairs. Because it's battery powered, you press a button, and the lifting arm raises the person up and down the stairs.
How about going down the stairs? How does that work? Just because I'm looking at it right now, and it appears that if you push it too far, it's going to go off the stair, but it looks like it's going to a blocker that prevents that from happening. Describe how that works.
What a good question. The wheels in the front have a spring mechanism, and they automatically lock the front wheels. So as hard as you may try, you can't roll off the edge of the stair. As a matter of fact, if you're watching, I can actually lay it down in an emergency, and it's not going to go off the edge of the stair.
That's incredible. Can I get some sound of the device going down the stairs?
Safety features. So if you heard that beep, that was telling me that I was 2 degrees off in how I was holding it. So it has an audio and a visual light that flashes that lets you know if you're using it improperly.
That's incredible. Do you have any success stories that you can share with us of people that may have used this?
Well, everyone who purchases one is a success story because they weren't able to get into their home before. We've had families where the wife wasn't able to go up to her bonus room in 6 years, and we were there when she got to go up there, and we all cried. I mean, it was such a good feeling. Children who haven't been able to go upstairs in their bedroom for years, or they're not able to go to the grandparents for Thanksgiving because they weren't able to get into the house. So to me, those are the true success stories.
That's amazing. Where can people find more information about this and your organization online?
Go to www.mobilitylifter.com, and I am the distributor, but I have dealers throughout the country, and I will be happy to pass on that information to anybody who reaches out.
And would you describe for me what inspired you to come up with this concept?
My mother, who was 96, had lived with my sister for 20 years, and my sister's husband had gotten lung cancer, so my mom had to move in with one of her other daughters. And we had 23 stairs in the house. They were wood. I didn't want a chairlift, and my sister had carpeted stairs indoors and outdoor stairs. So I needed to find something that was going to work everywhere. And I searched online for about 6 months, and I found the lift car in Austria, and I became the distributor. When my mom moved in at the age of 96, she could do stairs, but at 98 she had a pacemaker put in. And I was using my hand on her butt, pushing her up the stairs, and she's holding on to the rail. And by the 15th stair, we were both exhausted. And she said, "You have to find something." She goes, "This is too hard." And so I found the lift car, and after I received mine to try, I just thought, the United States doesn't have anything like this. And so I asked the company, Sano, which is out of Austria, if I could become their distributor.
Incredible. Could I just have you start by giving me your name and giving me some information about the organization you're with?
Sure. My name is Stuart Flom. My company is AdaptiVision. And I'm involved with adaptive technology for people with visual impairments.
Explain to me how the organization works.
Okay, so essentially we distribute a wide range of products for seniors, people in school situations, libraries, all different venues for people that are struggling to be able to read and maintain their independence. These products include video magnifiers, which will enlarge what you're trying to read, as well as OCR devices, which would scan a document and read that back to you.
That's incredible. How long have you been in operation?
I've been doing this for about 23 years.
That's amazing. Now, for somebody who might be new to losing their vision, what services could you offer them to make their life easier?
Sure. First thing I would tell them is to be encouraged. There are solutions out there that can really be helpful. You can contact me, and my phone number is 1-800-407-6486, or on the web at videomagnification.com. I do in-home evaluations, and we could determine what the needs are and come up with a piece of technology that can really be helpful.
That's incredible. Now describe for me some of the devices that are in front of us here. Okay.
So this particular product is called the Clearview C-Speech. It's a video magnifier where I can place a document underneath. It's very simple to operate. I rotate a knob and will increase or decrease the magnification. I could change the contrast so that you can, for example, have a black background with white print. The other really cool thing this does is if I touch the right corner of the screen.
Speech on position the text inside the window and tap the screen.
And I place my document inside a template. I just tap the screen one more time, and it will scan that document and read it back to me.
Now, how does the contrast affect the visibility of what's on the screen?
So contrast is essential for a variety of different visual impairments. It's not just magnification, but you really need a high level of contrast. A low vision doctor can do a contrast sensitivity test, And most people, as they age, and then if they have something like macular degeneration, they need a very high level of contrast. Makes a huge difference.
Great. Now, is this only black and white?
No. So we can look at color as well, and I can put it in the color mode. We have different color combinations as well, and also true color if you're trying to look at photographs or something like that.
That's amazing. What's our next machine?
Okay, so this system is called the Traveler HD. What's really cool about this one is that it weighs only a few pounds. It has a 13-inch screen. And a few years ago, to have a screen that size, you're looking at a 50-pound unit. So it's something that someone can travel with. One of the really important things, for example, most people that are visually impaired have macular degeneration, which means that they've lost their central vision. This moves quite easily left and right so that people can use more of their peripheral vision when they're trying to read.
Almost like a typewriter.
Exactly. Typewriters are a good way to look at it, and then we can move it forward and backward. We can also enhance the contrast on this as well.
That's incredible.
So it works very, very nicely. This machine here does OCR, or optical character recognition. I press a button, and it will take a picture of the document or scan the document and then start reading that document back to me. So very simple to use. One of the important things with technology is to take sophisticated technology and make it very simple to operate. So it's reading that
document. I get the health food. I need all the preservatives I can get. You're getting old when you get the same sensation from a rocking chair that you once got from a roller coaster. One of the life's mysteries is how a 2-pound box of candy...
That's amazing. Now, how does the technology on this particular device work?
Okay, so there's a gentleman whose name is Ray Kurzweil. You may have heard of
a
device called the Kurzweil Reader. He invented this about 30 years ago. And so basically it's taking the text and converting it to speech. And over the years, the technology has improved so much that it will scan a document typically within about 5 seconds. The accuracy has improved tremendously. And the voice quality has improved. It used to sound very robotic, mechanical sounding, and now it sounds like a person.
That's amazing. Give me your website and your contact information again, if you would.
Okay, so people can reach me at, my phone number is 1-800-407-6486. My website is www.videomagnification.com. They can also use lowvisionsource.com. And my email is stu@videomagnification.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And that's all the time we have for today on Mission Possible. Thank you so much for listening. Today we've been talking about our visit to the Abilities Expo in Boston, which took place on Friday, September 8th of 2016. We hope you enjoyed today's program, and please stay tuned. More comes your way next on the Talking Information Center.